Well, hey guys, welcome to my weekly Q&A, recording this on a Friday, and I trust you are well. I have had a busy week, flew back from Europe on Wednesday, so I'm still getting over kind of 6 hours time change, but waking up at 3 or 4 a.m., that's okay. And here in one of my favorite places to hang out, Panera Bread, as usual, and doing lots of good work, reading the Bible, and let me do a few quick updates. I've got five questions today people have submitted about faith, and I love talking about faith. Faith releases everything God has, and I've just been thinking and actually discovering recently how many areas there are that we don't apply faith to. It's like we have this narrow bandwidth of things. We believe God for salvation, maybe for healing, maybe for some kind of blessing or whatever. But faith applies to everything. Everything in your life works by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatever's not of faith is sin. So it's really important we grow and develop our faith. Good. Hey, a few quick practical updates. Again, if you're new to my YouTube channel, please do hit the subscribe button down there. I think we just hit 36,000 subscribers, so thank you guys for that. I was going to share, sign up for our email newsletter. That'll be going out today. I'll be sharing some reviews, probably from some books I've been reading so much recently. I love reading. And this weekend, I'm going to be starting a series in two of my churches here in Mass and Connecticut on union with Christ. And if you are anywhere near in New England, really encourage you to be in Sturbridge Worship Center this coming Sunday morning, New England Fellowship at 4 p.m. What I'm going to be sharing this weekend has literally changed my life. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say. I feel like I've been born again. And I'll be sharing some of that this weekend, and hopefully leading a whole bunch of people into that experience. I'm really excited about that. Check out my website, got lots of great things going. Hey, I'm planning a ministry tour to Texas in September or October. So any of my friends in Texas or possibly Oklahoma, I have about 3 dates open there. So if you're interested, love to come and speak for you and minister for you then. I'll be taking a team to Ireland in the month of November. So if you're interested in signing up, we still have places open for our mission trip to Ireland. We'll be renting a castle, staying in a castle for a week in Ireland, putting on a conference. So if you've ever wanted to do a missions trip, that would be an incredible experience and maybe a first step into ministry on the continent of Europe. And boom. Too many things for me to announce, but check out all the links below. And lastly, let me say that again. If you are not yet a Christian, a believer in Jesus, I'd love to set up a Zoom call with you or a phone call at your convenience and talk to you about becoming a follower of Jesus, because he is the bread of life. Boom. So let me jump into these questions. I'll try to take about 3 minutes each, famous last words, on these, and just give you some thoughts. So the got 5 questions today. Number 1, what is faith? Number 2, how do we grow in faith? Number 3, how can I know the difference between faith and presumption? That's a good question. Number 4, help. Somebody says, I believe God and it did not happen, question mark. And number 5, are the limits to what we can believe God for? Good. So let's jump into question number 1. What is faith? I mean, faith is, again, Hebrews 11:1 says it's the substance of the things we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Basically, faith is believing what God has said. Whenever we say we have faith, you can't just have faith in the abstract. You have faith in something. If I tell you I have faith in the seat I'm sitting on, I have faith in this leader, I have faith in, you know, a computer or whatever I'm using, that it will do what it's advertised to do. When we say we have faith in God, we don't have faith in God. We have faith in God's word. So faith basically means believing that God is who he said he is, that God will do what he said he'll do. Faith is confidence in God's word. Faith is not, again, Bible faith is not just some sort of intellectual, fuzzy, mental adherence to something. Faith really means to be convinced in your heart that what God says, he means. Now, let me go a little bit further than that. Because when we're talking about Bible faith, there's two elements we often miss with that. Faith is also believing that something is done when God says it is done, when you don't yet see the evidence of that. Let me say that again. Faith is believing that something is done when God said it's done, without yet seeing the evidence. In Mark 11, Jesus curses a fig tree, and in effect, it's like Jesus goes away saying that tree is dead. And the disciples are looking at it going, no, it's perfectly alive, it's fine. And in the mind of Jesus, it's dead. Jesus said, what things you desire, at the moment you pray, believe you have received them, and then you'll see them happen. So faith means we believe we're healed when we pray based on God's word, not based on the lack of pain in our body. The evidence to your faith is God's word. The evidence to your experience is your feelings. And most of us, we pray and we think, there's this kind of counterfeit faith that goes around. People think they have faith by saying, I believe that God can do something. It doesn't take any faith to believe that God can do something. Faith believes God has done something based on his word and based on his word alone. Boom. So, question number two, how do we grow in faith? Let me give you two quick answers to that. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you're there as a Christian saying, I'd like to have more faith, you don't need to pray for faith. There's two things you need to do. You need to hear the word of God. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There are two parts to that thing. It's for you to do the hearing and for God to bring faith. So you can't manufacture faith. You can't force faith. You can't fake faith. You can't make faith happen in you. It's not your job to produce faith. It's your job to hear the word of God. And God says if you'll consistently hear his word, Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them before your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. If you will hear God's word, faith will, not ifs, buts, maybes, faith will arise in your heart. You've got God's word and God's promise for that. That's part one of the story. There's another point that I think we often miss when we talk about faith. Faith grows when we release it, when we exercise it. So it's not enough simply, you could say, well, I go to a church for the last 40 years and I hear God's word every week, so I have faith. Yeah, amen in a sense. But faith comes by hearing the word of God, and faith grows by usage. Faith grows when you put your faith into action, when you actually believe for something. Strength comes by eating food, but if you only eat and eat and eat and never exercise, you get fat. And there's a lot of people who are spiritually fat, so to speak. They never exercise their faith. So you need to take God's word in to grow your faith, and then you need to do something. Believe God. Begin to believe God for something. What are you believing God for right now? Where's your faith active? Where's your faith invested? That's how you grow in God's word. Boom. Key number three, and it's a good question, how can I know the difference between faith and presumption? Frederick K.C. Price wrote a book years ago. I forget exactly the title. Google it, you'll find it easily. It's about faith and presumption, and it's a really great book. And I think many people do cross that line between faith and presumption. So let me, in a sense, it's a big question with a big answer. Let me try to nail it down to a few things. How can we know the difference between faith and presumption? Well, firstly, on what are you basing your faith? If you're going to ask God for something that he's promised in his word, that's not presumption. Mm-hmm. If I come to the Lord saying, Lord, your word says, whosoever believes on the name of the Lord shall be saved, it's not presumptuous of me to believe for salvation. If I read the Bible and he says, I am the Lord, your healer, it's not presumptuous for me to believe for healing. If I come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'd like 20 jet planes, well, on what am I basing my faith? So there's no verse in the Bible that says, verily, I will give thee thine 12, 20 jet planes. Now, if I possibly there's some ministry out there that needs 20 jet planes to fulfill the call of God on their life, and there's a place the Lord will lead them into believing for 20 jet planes. I have no problem with that. I just have a problem when you look at somebody else doing it and you think, oh, they did it and God gave it to them, so he'll do it for me. That's the line of presumption. So the first line would be, is it in the Bible? I mean, secondly, obviously there are things God will ask us to believe for that are not specifically outlined in his Bible, and God will lead us and give us a personal promise in our hearts. Now, the question and the key there is it really God who's speaking to us, or is it simply our desires? The Bible says we have not because we ask not, but then we ask amiss that we may spend it, we may utilize it to fulfill our lusts. So I think the danger, all of us are going to be in this place at times where we're asking God for something and we're not sure if it's really his will. Yeah, John puts it this way in 1 John, I believe it's 4. He says, if we ask anything according to his will, we know we have the petitions we have desired of him. So I think what we should do, if we're in one of those, like, is this God's will or is it not God's will situations, is we should come to the Lord and we should say, Lord, I really want to know if it's your will. And I'm going to seek you rather than seek an answer. I'm going to get to such a place in your presence where I'm under your influence. Turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things on earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Lord, I want to get to such a place where I'm under... You are a greater influence to me than my own flesh, than my own desires, where you've got a clean and a pure heart, where you're living in the secret place. When I am pressing into Jesus, and then I say, Lord, is this your will? I'm going to know his will. But the problem is, if we're living a long distance relationship from Jesus, from worship, from repentance, from consecration, from his word, that's the time when other desires creep in that are not of him. So, how do we know the difference? Seek God for his word, seek God for him, and be open to his leading and guiding. Let me, I think I'm going to come back to this in a later question, but one last thought on this as well. I think God's will is not static. I think there are times when two Christians can ask God for the same thing, and God's going to say yes to one and no to the other. Because of the place in the heart, in the growth, in the relationship with God, where person A is and person B isn't. I think there's also a time where in our walk with God, maybe as a younger Christian, we're going to ask God for something and he's going to say no. Later on, we ask him and he says yes. And the issue isn't the thing. The issue is, can we hold it to the glory of God? So, yeah, that question on faith and presumption is an important one, but don't let it push you back from asking God for things. Jesus said again and again and again, ask, ask, ask. Anything you ask, everybody who asks receives. Ask and receive that your joy may be full. And Jesus spoke more about asking God than he did warning people about, oh, you want to be careful. So I think we do want to be careful. We want to be a Bible person, walking in humility before the Lord, plugged into the local church, walking in community and holiness with the people of God. And then we want to ask like crazy and go for it. Boom. Question number 4. Somebody says, help, I believe God, and it did not happen. I have several responses to this. My first one is to give you a hug and to come at that pastorally and say, hey, I love you. And if you are hurt or disappointed, you know, if somebody, let's say, were believing God for the healing of a child, a spouse, and somebody died, I don't want to ride in on my white horse, my theological horse, and whack you over the head with a Bible argument. I want to weep at those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. I want to say I love you, and God loves you, and my heart goes out to you. Secondly, I want to say, be careful. You know, the danger, when we say, I believe God and it did not happen, watch out. Romans, I think it's 3 verse 4, says, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to lovingly say to you, you cannot believe God and it did not happen. Several things can happen. Sometimes we believe in God when we're not, we're asking God for something he's never promised us. So if I, again, I ask the Lord for my 20 jet planes and don't get them and I'm disappointed, God fail me. No, God didn't fail me. I just asked for something that God never promised me. So at times we've got to go back and say, did God really promise me this? Secondly, there's often a time, if somebody says to me, I believe God, and it didn't happen, what I actually hear in my ear is them say, I believe God, and after a while, because it appeared to me not to happen, I stopped believing God. Yeah, I hear somebody saying, Graham, I've cast away my confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for I need a patience. I hear somebody saying, I went on a journey where I started believing God. And somewhere along the pathway of that journey, I made shipwreck on my faith. I threw my faith away. And I accepted this wasn't going to happen. That would be like Jesus cursing the fig tree, walking away, and coming back later that day, looking at it going, I guess it didn't work. This faith thing didn't work. So I want to lovingly say to you, at what stage did you cast away your confidence? At what stage did you let go of your faith? That's the danger here. And maybe you need, sometimes we've all done this, we need to repent and come back and get a hold of God's word again and say, I believe this prayer was answered. Not because I saw it answered, that's Thomas' faith, but because God gave me his word. And I don't believe God has ever failed anybody, ever, when we truly stand on his word. I have never met anybody who God has failed. Let me say that again. I've never met anybody who God has failed. Maybe you're the first, but I've never met that person. So I encourage you, be willing to look at the foundation of what happened. And if you ask God for wisdom, you'll find out what went wrong there. Boom. Question number five, and it's a good question. Are there limits to what we can believe God for? Quick answer, yes. I mean, there are no limits with God. God is a God without limits, but God limits himself. So can we believe God to override the will of somebody else? No, of course not. You know, can I believe God for the salvation of my children? I mean, yes and no, I can, and I do. But it's not that I believe God to override their will and force them to become Christians. Rather, I believe that what I've sown in them will produce a harvest. And I believe that God can effectively bring them to that place of salvation and has done. So I'm not believing God will override their will. I can't go to somebody and say, I believe God, you're going to marry me. Well, they have a choice as well. Yeah, I can't believe God for something he's never promised, number one. I can't just believe God that the whole world will get born again this afternoon by 3 p.m. in time for a coffee at Starbucks. I can't simply believe that. I can't believe Jesus will return by 4 p.m. today. So there are things there are limits to what we can believe God for when it overrides God's will, when it overrides the will of somebody else, when it's outside of God's word. You know, that said, we do not have a dearth. There's not a problem that the Christian world is full of people asking God for too much and God is saying, no, no, I don't want to give you those things. The problem is actually the other way around, that we have, oh my Lord, we have people asking God for hardly anything. You know, that God is receiving so much right now. There's more praise and prayer and love going from earth to heaven than there ever has been. But there's so little going from heaven to earth because God's people don't take up their faith. And I believe God is looking at us going, all the promises of God are yes and amen in him to the glory of God through us. I think the Lord is standing over his church weeping, saying, how often I wanted to, but you would not. So yes, there are limits and we should walk in biblical limits. We should be led by the Spirit. We should check that out with the church community, the things that we're doing, but there's so much more that God has for you. Boom. Selah. Well, thank you again, guys, for watching this today. And I encourage you again, hit that subscribe button down there. Check out the links below. Drop me a line if you've got a question for next week. I'd love to tackle that. And blessings as you walk with the King of Kings. Bye for now.